Show me the tomb where thou wast laid. Mark? Mark chapter 11. Reading from verse 1, St. Mark chapter 11, reading from verse 1. When they came nigh to Jerusalem and to Bethpage, Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, sendeth forth two of his disciples, said unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye unto them, The Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him. Peter. They went their way, and found the colt tied at the door without, in a place where two ways met. They loosed him, and certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded them, and they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus, cast their garment on him, and he sat upon him. Here we find a donkey. And in Scripture, in other places, we are told that indeed, mankind is like a donkey. I think it is mentioned in Job concerning a donkey as a wild, as man as a wild ass. Here we find a donkey tied, and where he was located, the donkey was located where two ways met. The donkey was in bondage. But the word is that the Lord has need of him. He was at this crossroad. He was outside. Never man sat on him. Untrained. But the Lord has need of him. And such were we, beloved. Let's go back. There we find a scripture in Job. I think it is Job chapter 11. It says, For vain man would be wise, though man is be born like a wild ass colt. In Exodus, we are told that the donkey must be redeemed. And if he's not redeemed, then you have to break his neck. And I'm likening man to a donkey. That's what we're all. We're all like donkeys. But the Lord has need of us, and he has sent his servant who preached the gospel, and our eyes have been opened, and we have been brought to the Savior. We have been brought. And what is significant here, that they loosed him, they brought him to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord sat upon him. Now when the Lord sat upon the donkey, the reins are in his hand, and he's able to turn that donkey into a useful servant. I have a little experience in what we would say breaking in donkeys. My father used to raise a few of them, Jimmy, and they have cob, and we have to break in the donkey. Go on them and try to strip us off their back. Go on a tree and try to get us off and pick up and Now let that. But this donkey, we are told, behaved no such way when he was brought to Jesus. The donkey's will was subdued, and he was able now to be put to use. The Lord has need of him. And just in case there is one here who have not yet been brought to the Lord Jesus, the Lord need to take his position, his rightful place. The reins must be in his hand, where he is in full control. That's one of the thoughts I like. The other thought is in St. Luke, chapter 22. And I read from verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat." They said unto him, "Where, Lord? Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when he shall enter there shall a man met you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entered. And he shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master says unto you, where is the guest chamber, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." They went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready to pass over. First, we have a donkey that was used by the Lord. Now we have a room, a large upper room, where the Lord will bring to an end that which was instituted in Egypt and introduce something brand new. It will be a large upper room. It has to do with fellowship. It is elevated from earth. And up there, the Lord would have his own. But the idea it was above, it reminds us, beloved, of where we are now in the heavens. That's where the Lord would gather his own for the breaking of bread, the fellowship. We are told that was already first. Man has nothing to do with it. It was furnished already. Fit for the master's use. But we are told that what they are to say to the good man, where is the guest chamber? Where is the guest? The master says unto thee, where is the guest chamber? Where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples, and he shall show you a large. So here, this room was also brought under the Lord's control. And it was put to use for him. It was there prepared, and the Lord used it, reminding us, beloved, of place of fellowship we can now have with him, to know that everything is God. When we go to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 19, it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there is not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. The man therefore shall purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctify and fit for the master's use, and prepare unto every good work. Here we have a vessel that can be used for the Lord's glory. Must be empty, clean, and available. The Lord would have those who will be vessels to be touched in such sanctified ways. Must be separated unto Him. Purge Himself from those that are honored. And especially things in Christendom where the name of the Lord has been greatly dishonored. Name, blasphemed in some places. His work is denied. His word, coughed up. All of that, we have to be the opposite of all those things. That we are to find among us several vessels that can bear His precious name. His rights must be given. Lord, right to tell of us looking out, the Lord get His proper place. Now this vessel, and each one of us who desire to be used of the Lord as vessel, be in such condition, fit for the master's use. So was the donkey, and always so, but brought into that place where it was fit. For the master's use. The room was also fitted for the master's use. The vessel can be fitted, where the vessels are to be fitted for the master's use. I'm just going to read one more verse and it. And word we got in St. John chapter 11, verse John 11. Verse 28, when she had said, so said, went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come, and called him to be. Oh, beloved, that each of us would make ourselves willing servants, carry the Lord, different places. Hear him as a donkey did, that there will be room where there can be fellowship, no life for the Lord, that we ourselves might be vessels sanctified and fit for the master's use. Master is come. Call him. Lord, use these two thoughts, stimulate us, encourage our heart. Amen.
When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village over against you, and immediately you will find an ass tied and a colt with it. Loose them, lead them to me. And if anyone say anything to you, he shall say, the Lord. Straightway, he will Mount of Olives, sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village over against you, in which you will find, on entering it, a colt tied up, on which no child of man ever sat at any time. Loose it, lead it here. If anyone asks you, Why do you loose it? Thus shall you say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. They did that. And they that were sent, having gone their way, found as he said to them. They were loosing the colt, Master said to them, Why loose the colt? They said, Because the Lord has need of it. Lastly, John's Gospel, chapter 12. Jesus, having found a young ass, sat upon it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting at the foot. May I ask the question, why do we read the same incident? It is one of the many instances where the Lord Jesus repeats things in the whole gospel. Generally, you may find three of the gospels, particularly the synoptic gospel, carrying a particular incident. Then you turn to John, and it's not there, or you may find it in any of the others, but not all four. It's one of those where this incident is recorded in each gospel. And I believe there is tremendous significance. And I trust, in addition to what a Brother Milton brought before us, that there might be the gain for us this evening of the significance. For those who are outside of Christ, the Lord, as he said, has need of you. But how about us? Those of us who already know him, he has need of us also. It's wonderful to think that such a statement can be made by the Lord himself, expressing that he has something that he sees in us that he can take and shape it for his own glory. To think that he should take up the likes of us, we who were at a distance from God, having nothing in us that resembles the interest of Christ, the interest of God, and yet the Lord would look upon us and take account of us and say, I have need of you. Well, I trust that as we hear that this evening, we might perk up a little in our seats to think that divine persons would have an interest in us, to have us be sought out after his interest and his care. So in Matthew's gospel, take a note. It's not just the colt, but there is the ass as well. There is the mother, and then there is the colt, and then there is the expression, the Lord has need of them. So there is the matter of his interest that's vested in family. He has a need, the mother, and also the colt. He has a need that there should be families secured for himself. Well, the objective of this incident recorded in the Gospel of Matthew takes into consideration, as we said today, the contextual setting of the gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom. How he led us
in that direction today. The matter of the kingdom of heaven, seen in Matthew, brings us into a sphere where the king's rights are supposed to be exercised as from heaven. King, though on earth, rejected. But he was pressing the truth in this narrative that he wants the colt, he wants the ass and the colt for his kingdom. He wants to have that which he can fill out his kingdom with so that he can exercise his rights in the kingdom. He wants the colt and the ass to be there. Mother and daughter, mother and son, whatever you may be this evening, he has need of them. He wants them for his kingdom. He's setting up a kingdom of which he will exercise kingly right and authority, but he wants those who can be subjects and will be subjects in his kingdom. And so he wants the ass. He wants the colt as subject in his kingdom. The Gospel of Mark was read. And I'm saying that the contextual setting of each of these recordings will set us online on course with what he has in mind. The Gospel of Mark is the gospel of the servant. Mark, the recovered servant, the one who had gone astray, has been so recovered that he uses expressions like immediately and suddenly. The man who knows how to respond. So here he says, the Lord has need. Was bound where crossroads are. It was in a position of indecisiveness. It was in a place where a decision needed to be made. Are you going to serve or not? Are you going to just remain tied to the circumstances of life, the attachments of life? Or are you going to be a true servant for the master? He needs that colt loose. He needs that colt for his service, for his interest. Referred to 2 Timothy, serviceable to the master. He's looking for a colt character in each of us this evening. We might be serviceable. He needs us for his testimony. The testimony is a public matter. And he needs those who are prepared and are willing and are ready and are suitable to support his testimony, his interest here in this scene. Mark was a recovered man, ready and serviceable for testimony here. Needs him. Now, but Mark is the kind of man who has no hesitation in his step. Urges upon us, he gives us a matter of urgency as it relates to whatever is the interest of Christ. Straightway, he needs the colt that he might serve his interest. Are we available? Am I available? Again, the setting, the Lord hath need of it. If we might appreciate the extent to which that is so precious in the heart, to the heart of Christ, that there should be a response in you and in me that is indicative that we value that he has been. Book of Luke, chapter 19, the incident is again recorded. Luke, you would remember the context of Luke. It is a matter of the Son of Man set forth for us, the features of grace, the expressions of all that There was in Christ, in humanity, evident in the book of Luke, but also connected with the matter of his manhood feature, there is that matter of praise.
Luke is a praising book. Doesn't it begin with a man in the first chapter? A priest. A man who can appreciate priestly exercises,
who knows what it means to bring in what is suitable to God, because the priest consider for God.
And how does the book of Luke end? One priestly man in the beginning and a priestly company at the end, Bethany. It's wonderful to think that the incident here is recorded at Bethany, in Bethpage, Mount of Olives. You remember that Bethany has a very special place in the heart of the Lord.
It was the only place, as it were, where he could find conditions that were suitable to himself. There was a little family house in Bethany, the household of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus at Bethany, and the Lord Jesus loved to resort to that place because it was the only place where his will apparently was most appreciated.
The household of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. This is taking place in Bethany. What does the Lord want needed for? He needs the cold for his faith.
He wants to find that there are persons who are priestly in character and who can respond. There is a man in chapter 2 by the name of Simeon, one who hears. He was a moral priestly man. He was able to take the babe in his arms and raise it up and speak of the salvation of God's provision. There was a moral priest in Jerusalem. Can there be a moral priest in the assembly of God?
That's what God is looking for in the securing. The Lord is looking for in the securing of the colt here in Luke's gospel, that there might be someone who can be here to pray. Looking for a praising people who has need of us. And lastly, gospel, final feature of this incident, but look at how it is this time. In Matthew, he sends out his own. I have need of them. In Mark, he sends out his disciples. I have need of them. In Luke's gospel, it's the same thing. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But when we come to John, it's vastly different. Nobody is sent out. Whatsoever at all. You ever took a character? No one is sent out. It says, Jesus found a young man. He found it. Isn't it peculiar in relation to the greatness?
He's the Son of God. He is the eternal Son. He is the one who was ever in the bosom of the Father. That's his dwelling. He is the one who is the supreme delight of the heart of God. He is God eternal, blessed forever. He is the one who can express in his own person the greatness of that person. And it says,
that great person finds the coat. He finds the ass, rather, young ass. And he takes possession. He sits upon it.
There is nothing, no indication here whatsoever of the exercise of an intermediary. He is exercising supreme authority as the one who is the Son of the Father's love. Says, he sat upon it.
Is the feature of the family, the household. He needs the cold. He needs the cold.
He's got a family. wants to bring the colt into that family atmosphere where the colt can appreciate the affections that are associated with family condition.
Relative to this exercise that our brother Milton brought before us, the Lord has need. He has need of you, he has need of you. He has need of you if you're outside of Christ as being able to be of interest in his service. He needs to save you. He wants to rescue you. At the cold time, he wants to untie. He wants to at liberty, so you are available to him. But he wants to do that for each of us as well, who know him personally. You know, there is so much that binds us in this world and attaches us to things of this age, but he wants to detach us. He wants to detach us from these things so we might be faithfully suitable to him, the ass and the colt of his kingdom. For his right, for the exercise of his authority, for the fulfilling of his interest in the kingdom here in this city. He wants us in Mark that we might be the testimony, we might be serviceable and available as he himself was here, as the true servant. Behold my servant. He's the one who in Exodus 21 could speak of, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children. He was prepared to serve. He had his hair bored with an awl. He said he would serve the Father's interest eternally. He wants us to be that type of servant also in character here for him. Not only that, he wants us to be faithful. He wants to cut us loose so that we might be associated with him in the priestly atmosphere of things. He's looking for those who can be associated with him as the chief priest, the high priest, the great priest, that we might be priestly men, sons of Aaron, in association in the service, the Levitical service with him. Then lastly, he wants us to God. God has always been interested in families. He started with a family in Egypt. They were to take the lamb for a household. Where God begins, with households. As a matter of fact, he had set up a household in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and it was impaired by man falling as a result of the serpent's voice.
But God came back and he set up a family in Egypt who would respond, as it were,
that evening, the many families in Egypt who each God's been interested in families for a long time. He's interested in your personal family.
He has a family on earth of which we've just spoken of this afternoon. The family, the assembly, a wonderful company of persons associated with his well-beloved son, part of